Father, we love you. You first loved us. You made it all possible through the offer of forgiveness through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you. We proclaim your goodness. Every good thing in our life has come from you. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're yet to do. Father, we thank you tonight for our pastors. You've set them as our leaders over this place. And Father, they have established us in excellence. And Father God, we want to thank you for their hearts, their ministry, their lives, as they serve and as they labor. We ask you to bless them tonight. We ask you to strengthen them tonight, help them in every way. Continue to stand with them. And Father, as the word tonight, as the word pertaining to the word tonight, Father, we know that which you've laid upon our heart. But now, Father, we thank you for the unction and the utterance to be able to deliver it, Father, in the way that you gave it to us. Father, your word is the most precious thing that we know, more precious than gold, more valuable than silver. Your word, Father God. We know that one day heaven and earth will pass away, but not your word. Your word is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joint, marrow. Your word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Father, we ask you to feed us tonight with the word. Use your word. Break down old ways of thinking, Father God, through the word. Use your word tonight. Father, old thought patterns that have hindered us, break that down. Break that off of us, Father God, tonight. Break every yoke of bondage through your word. Every answer we seek, it's in the word tonight, Father God. Everything we need's in your word. Thank you for the good Holy Ghost. He's our helper tonight. Thank you through the Holy Ghost ministering to every person here, every person listening in this service live, every person listening through a live stream or some recorded venue. Father, speak a word to every ear that hears this message. Speak a mighty word to every person listening. Father, we'll be so careful just to give you all of the glory, all of the honor and the praise for everything wrought in our midst, and may it be according to your divine will. We'll give you all the glory for it, all the honor and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, as you find your seats and turn to the book of Micah, let's thank our worship team, our band and musicians and frontline singers for leading us right into the presence of God. Boy, that last song, man, I love that song, man. I at home, man, I have my guitar. I wear that song out. I love that song. The words are so powerful, though. The music is so powerful to it. And boy, that part, I love your voice. You've led me through the fire. In my darkest nights, you were there like no other. I've come to know you as a father, and I've come to know you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God, man. Woo, pop, boom, bam. I love that. So how you doing, saints? All right, you have your Bible. Turn to the book of Micah. We're going to start at 7:19. Micah chapter 7, verse 19. Right in there, sandwiched in between Obadiah and Habakkuk is the book of Micah. And Micah chapter 7, verse 19. Don't be afraid to look it up in your reference of your Bible, there's a good word in Micah 7:19. The word says in Micah 7:19 that God will continue to abundantly pardon us. How many feel thankful to the Lord that he has pardoned you of all of your sins and iniquities? Aren't you glad about that? And the Bible says that God, he has thrown our sins into the deepest ocean. That's why I want you to turn to Micah chapter 7, verse 19. I want you to read it in your Bible. Make sure it says that in your Bible. God took your sins. He took my sins. And he threw those sins into the deepest ocean. That ought to make somebody glad. I said somebody ought to be glad. Because sin is an unbearable burden. Sin is an unbearable burden. And there's no man, there's no institution that's ever been able to solve the problem of mankind's sin. And we've all had the same problem, like a dented cake pan. My mama, she used to have me make cakes, which we have in company or whatever. My mom would have me make the cake. I'd read all the directions, follow the directions. And so my mama said, boy, you make a pretty good cake. So she always had me making the cakes, you know. And she had this bunt. Her favorite pan was a bunt pan. That bunt pan had a dent in it. I don't know how that bunt pan got dented, but you could tell when I made a cake because it's going to have a dent right there when it come out. Got a little indentation. A lot of times I just cover it up with a bunch of frosting. But if you look close enough, you say, no, that's his cake. That's his cake. There's the dent. Well, mankind's kind of like that. We all had the same dent. We all had the same problem. And sin is that problem. And thank God that he remedied our problem for sin through the person of Jesus Christ. Thank God. I said, thank God for it. And now today, see, we can be free from that, free from the burden of sin. Woo, that's a freedom like no other. To be free from, anybody glad to be free from the burden of your sin? If that ever gets old to us as believers, then something's wrong with our wood. Our wood has gotten wet. But I tell you, it's just good to be free. Amen. Good to be saved. Good to be forgiven. Good to be on the way to heaven. Amen. I said, amen. Amen. This week we helped a family and we stood at the graveside of a gentleman who had gone home to be with the Lord. And I tell you, you see them lower, you know, the grave and you know, the casket. Of course, he's not there. He's in heaven. He's a believer, you know, thank God. But should the Lord tarry his return, one day all of us are going to die. Can't get an amen teaching like that. I said, if the Lord, I pray we meet him in the air. How many want to meet him in the air? I pray we meet him in the air. Praise God. That'd be the best way. Just go on up in the rapture. Glory to God. Amen. Somebody said, ain't no grave going to hold my body down. But, you know, just helping that family but just knowing, you know, it gave them great comfort knowing where he is and in heaven. But thank God that heaven is real. And then sometimes people don't realize that hell is real. Heaven is real and so is hell. I'm glad to be going to heaven. I'm glad it's already settled for me. What about you? I'm glad it's already a settled thing. I'm going to heaven. Amen. So tonight we're talking about the dangers of unforgiveness. The title of this message tonight is Don't Drink the Poison. Look at somebody, help me with my title tonight. Look at somebody and tell them, don't drink the poison. No matter what they did to you, look at somebody and tell them, no matter what they did, don't drink the poison. No matter what they said, don't drink the poison. Unforgiveness is a poison. You've heard that old adage by now, you know, that unforgiveness is like, you know, is like drinking poison yourself and you look at the other person expecting them to die. But you the one drank the poison. If you gave way to unforgiveness. And we're talking about the dangers of unforgiveness. And the title of this message is Don't Drink the Poison. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3, around about verse 13. Colossians 3, verse 13. I tell you, there's nothing like the freedom that comes from being forgiven. Oh, the blood. There's no cleansing agent like the blood of the Lamb. I said the blood. Praise God. How many can remember when Jesus set you free? I remember on a Friday night in May 1979 going down on a bended knee and the Lord saved me. Praise God. Boy, I've never been the same. Praise God. And where would we be without the blood of Jesus? Thank God for the blood. I said that blood is a barrier. It's a hedge of protection around you. I said thank God for the blood. I said, there's no trespassing around the blood of Jesus. The enemy can't get to you. He can't trespass through the blood. Aren't you glad about that? And I'm so glad that God, he sees us through the blood. He sees us in the light of the blood. I said, amen. We can't state enough. The efficacy of his blood accomplished everything, satisfied God's high demands for justice. The blood of Jesus, praise God. Hallelujah. Where did I tell you to go? Colossians 3? You at verse 13 yet? All right, Colossians 3:13. All right, verse 12 says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now look at 13. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Ooh, that's a power-packed verse. The Bible says that we have to bear with one another. That means you have to be patient with people. Because sometimes people, you know, we all make mistakes. First of all, we all make mistakes. Can I say it that way? Anybody here, you never made a mistake? Come down here. Let me slap you in love. Okay, we've all made mistakes. Yeah. But then having said that, then sometimes people do things sometimes that are egregious, and people do things that can hurt, and sometimes people do stuff, and sometimes their heart was right, but their head was off, and they did something that hurt. Either way, if we're not careful, you can find yourself getting impatient with people. And I tell you what, especially this time of year, when people are getting ready to start the hustle and bustle of Christmas shopping and doing things for Thanksgiving and the holidays, people are everywhere. People are going everywhere you going, 100 other people going right there. Every deal you trying to get, 100 other people trying to get it right before you. People can do things sometimes that hurt. But the Bible calls you and I, who have been forgiven, to also forgive. And it is not a suggestion, it's a command. Those of us who have been forgiven by the blood must also forgive and release. Because I'll tell you why, unforgiveness will jack us up. Unforgiveness will mess you up. Yeah. I said, well, unforgiveness, if you give way to unforgiveness, first of all, unforgiveness contaminates good Bible faith. Unforgiveness will contaminate your faith. You know, Hebrews 11:6 said, without faith, help me, it's impossible to please God, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And the Bible says that we as Christians, you know, the just shall what? Live by faith. Everything we do is connected to our faith, right? But unforgiveness will contaminate good Bible faith. Yeah. Not only that, unforgiveness will block the blessings of God from flowing in your life. A brother can't get no amen teaching like this tonight. But not only that, unforgiveness, it will contaminate good Bible faith. It'll contaminate it. Unforgiveness will block the blessings of God from coming to your life, from flowing in your life. Unforgiveness will block that up. Block up the pipeline. Yeah. And not only that, unforgiveness will choke out the word. Yes, it will. I said unforgiveness will choke the word, will choke out the word. You can't afford to get involved in unforgiveness. You say, well, preacher, you don't know what somebody did to me. I don't know what they did to you, but I know this. Jesus set you free from whatever they did to you. Jesus set you free. The blood of Jesus that he shed for you is greater than anything they did to you. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. A preacher trying to get an amen tonight. But unforgiveness will mess us up, will mess up our faith. Every good thing God's trying to do, unforgiveness will hinder that. And people do things sometimes, as I say, that are uncalled for, that they shouldn't have done, and we've all been hurt in some way, in some form. You know, Joseph was a man who had been hurt. He was hurt a lot. He had a dream at 17 years old, and maybe he didn't use the best of wisdom and blabbing off at the mouth about his dream, but it didn't justify what his brothers did to him after that. Their first plot, they wanted to kill him. His oldest brother talked the other ones out of killing him. That was a blessing that he was alive. I mean, they threw him in a pit, but it was a blessing. The pit was actually a blessing because he supposed to have been dead. That was wrong what his brothers did to him. And then Potiphar came along and bought him as a slave. And then, of course, you know the story. The Bible said he was good looking and Potiphar's wife was looking at him. And then she tried to sleep with him and he refused. He had integrity. And then, you know, she said, ain't nobody going to know. Ain't nobody in this house but you and I. She said, ain't nobody going to know. You know what Joseph said? God will know. He said, I could not commit this great evil because God himself is watching me and God will know. And he tried to get free and she grabbed his coat and she shook him out. You know, he ran, left his coat and she grabbed his coat. And then, you know, she lied on him. That was so low down. That was wrong. What we say in Jersey, cold-blooded. You know, she just lied on him. And then they put him in. And then Potiphar came back. Of course, he believed his wife. And then they put him in jail. Put the man in jail. Low down. God kept elevating him. You know, Genesis 39, 2 said, but the Lord was with Joseph, and so he became a successful man. Amen. Yeah. And Joseph, he knew about the dangers of unforgiveness. And he decided he wasn't going to drink the poison. No matter what anybody did to him, he made a conscious decision, I ain't going to drink the poison. And they did him wrong. And then remember, he interpreted the dream of the cupbearer and the baker. And he told him, you know, he said, the king's going to let one of you out, talking to the cupbearer, really. The king's going to let you out, give you your job back, and going to cut the baker's head off. Anybody told thee? He told the cupbearer, when you get your job back, when you're in front of Pharaoh, not the king, Pharaoh. He said, when you're in front of Pharaoh, tell Pharaoh I'm here unjustly. Tell Pharaoh they did me wrong. Would you do that for me? I interpreted your dream, and they found out his interpretation was correct. That man went, got his job back, didn't think nothing about Joseph. The Bible said 2 full years passed. He didn't think boo about Joseph. But Joseph decided, if people have forgotten about me, I'm not going to drink the poison. All I can tell you tonight is the Lord sent me here to tell you, don't drink the poison. Don't drink the poison. Things hurt. It doesn't mean that things don't hurt. We all go through things. We go through things, and sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard. I 2016, went through a divorce. My wife left home 2014, and it can be hard. But the Lord told me from the very beginning, forgive, let go, pray. Pray for the other person. Have a heart of compassion. Yeah. Someone maybe did you wrong down there on your job. People can do all kind of goofy stuff on your job. But I can tell you this, if you won't drink the poison, God will give you favor and God will fight your battles and God will bring you through on the other side. I said, I wish I had an amen there. Yeah. And so we are called to forgive. Joseph, you know, the great thing about him is even later after, you know, his father died and he's the prime minister, you know, and all the great things that happened to him. He's the prime minister and his brothers realize it and they think he's going to get us back. They think he's got the same spirit of get back that we got. But they were wrong. He didn't have that spirit of get back. They were wrong about him. And he said, I'm not going to harm you. Not only am I not going to harm you, there was a famine in the land. He said, I'm going to feed you. He wound up feeding 75 of his relatives every night. They ate at his table every day. You know what Joseph said in Genesis 50, verse 20? He said, what you did to me, Genesis 50, verse 20. He said, what you all did. He said, you did to harm me. He said, but God turned that thing around. God turned it around for my good. And I said, when people are trying to harm you, God can turn that thing around. I said, if you'll walk in love, if you don't drink the poison, God can turn that thing around for your good. I said, he'll turn it around. It may look bad today, but God can turn that thing around. It may look like there ain't no answer to it. It's going to end in terrible, but God can turn that thing around. I said, amen. Don't drink the poison. And it hurts when people do us wrong. You ever read 2 Timothy chapter 4, around verse 16? Write that down. 2 Timothy 4, 16. You know, that's Paul at his first trial. 2 Timothy 4, 16. He was upset. You know why he was upset? He needed somebody to come. He needed a Christian. He sacrificed his whole life. He sacrificed his whole life just getting people born again, getting churches established, getting people saved, risking his life every single day. And when it came time for his trial, he thought, well, surely some of these believers I've risked my life for, they're going to come and stand with me. I'm going to get some good character witnesses. Because these believers will come and stand, I've risked my life. He said, you ever read 2 Corinthians 11? He said, I've been drifting in the ocean a day and a night. He said, I've been beaten times without numbers. He goes on listing all the beatings and he'd been stoned and all the things that happened to him. He risked his life for people. Every day his life was in danger. And when his first trial came, he felt like, well, there'll be some Christians that'll come and stand with me and say, we've stand with this brother. They're willing to stand next to me. Nobody came. Yeah, that's 2 Timothy 4:16. He said, at my first trial, didn't nobody, not a soul came. Nobody showed up. And I know that had to hurt him. You know why? Because he said, Father, forgive them. He said, Father, forgive them. But he did say this. He said, nobody showed up to stand with me. He said, but the Lord stood with me. And if you can't get nobody to stand with you, I said, the Lord is standing with you. I said, amen. There's a friend. He sticks closer than a brother saying, what about me? I'm right here with you. I ain't going nowhere. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm a friend that sticks closer than a brother. When your father and mother put you down, I'm the one who'll take you up. And he said there, 2 Timothy 4:16-18, he said, you know, the Lord stood with me, the Lord strengthened me, and the Lord delivered me. And he said, he delivered me out of the jaws of the lion, and he'll keep on delivering me. But Paul refused to drink the poison. Paul knew what Joseph knew. Don't drink the poison. Don't drink the poison. People do things that hurt. People can say all manner of evil about you. People can, they can impugn your motives. People can neglect you or forget you. And, you know, you might be expecting a certain gift, or you might be expecting an invitation from someone. And then if it doesn't come, then that can hurt. There's all kinds. I'm not justifying what people do. It's sad. But on the other hand, we've all made mistakes too. I can't get no amen on that part. I said, on the other hand, we've all made mistakes too. And so most of the time people don't mean any harm, but we can't drink the poison. But there is a point here that I'm making. There is an underlying point, and it is this, that we are called as believers to forgive in the same exact way that the Lord has forgiven us. Can't get no amen on that. The Bible calls you and I as Christians to forgive, not in some, you know, ship-shod, flaky, worldly, you know, greasy grace kind of way. No, we are called to forgive people the same way the Lord has forgiven us. Why? Because he deposited his love down on the inside of us. First of all, he gave us the power. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, Romans 5. So the love of God is on the inside of us, empowering us to forgive. And I tell you, most of the time, we have to make a decision first that we're going to forgive. Forgiveness begins with a decision. If you wait on a feeling, you'll never get there. You'd be too hurt. If you wait on a feeling, you'll never get there. You'd be too hurt. Forgiveness begins with a decision. You have to decide to forgive. And if you're a believer, from inside of you, the love of God, and if it doesn't rise up, then stir it up. You say, I'm a believer, but the love of God ain't coming up out of me. Okay, go read 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 and read it and read it and read it and read it and read it. Slap yourself in the head with the Bible and read it again. Keep reading it, 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 keep reading it. And eventually you'll stir up the love of God and it'll come out of you. I said, amen. The Bible said, renew your mind. What's your underlying point? We have to forgive the same exact way the Lord forgave us. Now, I wish that wasn't in the Bible. Because sometimes in the body of Christ, we have some jacked up forgiveness. Okay, I forgive you. I don't ever want to talk to you no more. But I forgive you. Hallelujah. I forgive you. I don't even want to sit on the same pew with you. But glory to God, I forgive you. The Bible says we have to forgive. I forgive you. If I see you walking down the street, I'm going to go on the other side. But glory to God, I forgive you. That's some jacked up forgiveness. That's not forgiveness at all. The stuff we do that we call forgiveness, that ain't no kind of forgiveness. The Bible says you and I have to forgive in the same way that Christ forgave us. Did you see it there in Colossians 3? Look back at that. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Did you see that? Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Turn with me then to Ephesians. Ephesians 4:32. Some of y'all are looking at me like you don't believe what I'm telling you. We have to forgive the same way the Lord forgave us. We have what amounts sometimes to head knowledge forgiveness or mental assent. We say the words, but there's no corresponding action that seems to line up with forgiveness. See, when you forgive somebody, you restore them. I can't get no amen. Where did I tell you to go? Ephesians 4, 32. You see it there? Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. How? Just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. I said forgiveness will contaminate good Bible faith. Forgiveness will block the blessings of God from flowing in your life. Yeah. Forgiveness will choke out the word. Someone says, well, man, I'm trying to get the blessings of God to flow. I don't know why. Check up on your forgiveness. Because the Bible says, go with me to Matthew 6:14. The Bible says we have to forgive just like Christ forgave us. You say, what do all these scriptures have in common? Every one of these scriptures tell us we have to not just forgive. It'd be enough if the Bible told us to forgive. Every one of these scriptures I'm sharing with you indicate that we have to forgive in the same exact way the Lord forgave us. You say, well, how is that? Well, we started off with Micah 7:19. The Bible said that God throws our sins into the deepest ocean, never to remember them anymore. I said, that's a clue. I said, amen. If he threw our sins into the deepest ocean, never to remember them anymore, then when we forgive, then we're going to have to restore people and forget about what they did. Somebody said, how can I forget about what that person did? You know what? You make a decision not to allow yourself to think about that. Think about something positive. Think about something good. Think about something healthy, something good. Don't let junk just keep coming in your mind. Make a decision. I'm not going to let that thought in my mind. Woo, preacher trying to get an amen. Y'all are slowing me down. Pastor Marvin, I'm going to start this sermon again. I ain't getting enough amens, Pastor. Is that all right with you, Pastor Marvin? Pastor Marvin said it was all right. Where did I tell you to go? Matthew chapter 6. Okay, verse 14. Jesus is talking, for if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Let's keep reading. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Jesus said, if we forgive others, that our heavenly Father will forgive us. If we make a decision we're not going to forgive, then we won't be forgiven. We are called to forgive in exactly the same way that he has forgiven us. Go to Matthew 18. Don't drink the poison. God's trying to help you. God's trying to get something to you. But yeah, unforgiveness will mess up good Bible faith. It'll contaminate it. Unforgiveness, it'll block the blessings of God from flowing to you. Unforgiveness will choke out the word. Where are we at? Matthew 18. This story in verse 21, Peter asked Jesus, how many times shall my brother sin against me and I have to forgive him? And then he said up to seven times, and Jesus said up to seven times 70. And then Jesus immediately tells a story to highlight his point. And so he's telling that story about how many times you have to forgive, and about the power of forgiveness. Jesus is telling that story from verse 23 and then to 34, 23 to 34 of Matthew 18. We don't have time to read that whole story, but there are a couple things I want to draw attention to. And the story is about two men essentially. Or about one man in particular who owes a huge debt. And here in Matthew 18, at verse 24, it says in my Bible that this man owes the king 10,000 talents. Now, the footnote here in my Bible, it says that one talent was equal to more than 15 years of a common worker's wage back then. How many talents does this man owe? 10,000. Think about that now. One talent is equal to 15 years of a common worker's wages. Just one. This man is in so much debt to the king, and Jesus is telling the story. Jesus is telling the analogy. So this man is in so much debt, he owes 10,000. Somebody help me with my math. He has 10,000 talents and that of debt, okay? So, and each talent is 15 years of work. So how much work, how much debt did he have? 150,000 years worth of debt. Woo! That's a lot of debt. Imagine if you were in so much debt, you would have to work 150,000 years worth of to get rid of it. Well, that's impossible. You wouldn't. We don't live that long on the earth. 150,000 years. It's impossible to get rid of a debt load like that. But Jesus is telling the story, and you and I are the persons who owe the 150,000 years worth of debt. And in the story, the man says, "Please forgive me. Please forgive me," to the king. And the king says, "I'm going to have compassion on you. I'm going to forgive you all 150,000 years worth of debt." Woo! I said, glory be to God. You've been forgiven of 150,000 years worth of debt. Only the blood could do that. I said, thank God for the blood. Okay, but then Jesus, in the same story, he says, but this man, he's been forgiven. Think about it now. He's been forgiven of 150,000 years worth of debt. He leaves the freedom of that forgiveness. And in the streets, he bumps into a fellow slave who owes him 100 denarii. There's another footnote in my Bible that a denarius is one day's work for a common laborer back then. So get it now. He owed 150,000 years worth of debt, this slave. He's forgiven of all of that. He leaves there, bumps into somebody in the street who owes him 100 days worth of debt. And he chokes that person. So, oh no, you're going to pay back every dime. You're going to pay back every dime. You're going to pay, you're going to pay, you're going to pay. The Bible says he was unwilling to forgive. He was unwilling. Yeah. And Jesus in the story says that some other slaves who knew that this slave had been forgiven of 150,000 years worth of debt, they saw him choking another slave for 100 days worth of debt, and they went and told the king about it. And the king summoned him and said, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you asked me." And he says, "You should have had compassion on your fellow slave, and you should have forgiven your fellow slave in the same way I forgave you." You can see that at verse 32. Look at verse 32. Then he summoned him, and summoning him, his Lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you," look at this now, 33, "should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way I had mercy on you?" We are the person in the story with the 150,000 years worth of debt. Amen. Now, whoever hurt us, wife, friend, foe, whoever hurt us, someone on your job, whatever somebody did to you, that's the fellow slave that owes 100 denarii. In other words, from God's perspective, what God sees is, I forgave you 150,000 years worth of debt. Now, whoever did something to you, that's no more than 100 days worth of debt. And I expect you to take my love and release them and forgive them in the same way that I released and I forgave. I wish I had an amen here. In the same way I released and forgave you. And so God is saying, listen, you can't afford to do that. Where does time go? It just goes by so fast always. Just, you know, I'm so thankful to minister for the Lord. I know every minister feels like that, you know, just so grateful. Let me just share a couple scriptures and we'll close. You have everything you need to forgive just like Jesus forgave. Look at Luke 23. You know what that is? That's Jesus on the cross at verse 34. It's something that you've heard many times. Luke 23 and verse 34. Luke 23 and verse 34. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among them. So that's where they crucified him. So at his crucifixion, Jesus cried out to the Father, "Forgive them." In other words, he was forgiving. in the midst of his pain. While he was saying that, they were gambling over his clothes. It wasn't like they were repenting, like, oh my God, we're so sorry. It wasn't like they were repenting. They were gambling over his clothes when he said that. They had no air of repentance at all. But Jesus forgave them. He forgave them from the cross. And it was before they even asked for or knew they needed forgiveness. He forgave them without them asking for it. He forgave them before they even repented. He forgave them and they weren't begging him, Lord, please forgive me. Lord, please forgive me. He forgave them before all of that. And he calls you and I to forgive in the same. I wish a preacher could get an amen. To forgive in the same way. Let's go to one more scripture. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 60. Acts chapter 7, verse 60. I got so much more scripture, but we'll just have to end here. Acts 7, verse 60. Oh, brother, somebody is shouting. Somebody, while you say keep going out loud, somebody is silently yelling. Somebody's silently yelling, shut this thing down. This is our last scripture. In Acts 7, I'll start at 59, 60 is our text, but Acts 7, 59, they went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And having said this, he fell asleep. Doesn't that sound remarkably like what Jesus just did? What we read there in Luke 23? Stephen realized that he had the same capacity, the same love to forgive. And he realized that he had to forgive those who were stoned. Think about this. They're stoning him. They're not asking for forgiveness. He forgave them before they even asked for it. Before they showed any worthiness to deserve it, he forgave them and extended it anyway. God calls you and I to forgive just like he forgave. In Matthew 18, where we read, don't turn back there, but the very last verse is verse 35. It's where Jesus comes out of the story and he says that there is a difference between forgiving from the head and forgiving from the heart. And tonight, God wants to clarify for us. He wants us to forgive from the heart, just like Jesus forgave, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Tonight, you may be here, and I don't know, like all of the rest of us, you may have been through some type of pain in your life. And sometimes people are here and you realize you've hurt somebody. Well, you know, if you hurt somebody, then you ought to apologize. If you have caused hurt and pain, then you ought to apologize for that. You ought to ask for forgiveness. And then you ought to forgive yourself and take God up on his offer of forgiveness, because the Lord, through his offer of forgiveness, through the Lord Jesus Christ, extends that forgiveness to all of us. But maybe you're here and you've been through a lot of hurt and pain and you've had trouble forgiving. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. But lift your hand. Just show me where you're at. I'm having trouble. I've been having trouble forgiving. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So the thing is, you've got to get rid of that, because the scripture says in Hebrews 12, 15 that unforgiveness will develop into a root of bitterness, choking out the good things of God from our lives. And so God will give you the strength. God will give you the power. I want to lead you in a prayer. Father, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus. And if this is you, just repeat this prayer to yourself silently. I just come to you in the name of Jesus, and I just ask you to forgive me. I've had trouble forgiving, but I know the love of Christ is down on the inside of me. And I choose now, as an act of my will, to release every single person that's hurt me, anybody that's offended me, anybody that's hurt me in any way, shape, or form. Someone neglected me. Someone did something to me. Someone said something about me. Whatever it is, Father, I just forgive them now. I release them in my heart. And I pray for you to bless them and help them and establish them. They probably didn't even know what they were doing, Father God. And so we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And still with every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. If you're here, but you don't know what it means when I say the freedom of forgiveness, you've never experienced that because you've never been born again. If you're here tonight and you've never been born again, you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord. If you're here tonight and you say, you know, if I were to die tonight, I don't know what would happen to me. Would I go to heaven? I don't know. Would I go to hell? I don't know. If you have a thought like that, you need to lift your hand and let me pray for you. Anybody here and you're not sure if you were to die tonight, you're not sure you would go to heaven. Ushers, help me. Everybody else, your head is bowed, your eyes are closed. Ushers, just help me. If anybody here, you say if I died tonight, I don't know what my outcome would be. Lift your hand and let me pray for you. Is there anybody here like that? Is there anybody in here tonight and you say, well, I know what it means to receive Christ because I received Christ before, but I haven't been walking with the Lord. He hadn't been my complete Lord because I haven't been walking with him like I should. I've been going my own way, doing my own thing, making my own decisions apart from him. But I want to make it right tonight. Is there anybody like that tonight? Let me see your hand. I want to pray for you. Anybody here, you say, I haven't been living right, but I want to make it right. Anybody like that? Okay, I don't see any hands here. Father, I thank you so much for your people. They're just great people. Those watching online, Father, somebody's watching online tonight and in need of forgiveness. Someone's listening. Father God, I thank you for helping them. And I just want to pray this prayer for their benefit. If you're watching online or you're listening some other way, I want you to say this prayer after me. Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus, asking you to just forgive me and cleanse me. I accept now your offer of forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. I realize that he died on the cross for my sins. I realized he was raised from the dead on the third day. And I realize that his blood is what cleanses me from my sins. He's the Son of God, and I accept him as my Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friends, you can lift your heads now and open your eyes. It's been so much fun to share the word with you tonight. And as we go into this holiday season, don't let people talk you into drinking the poison. While you're out at the stores and the hustle and bustle of life or just out in the traffic, don't drink the poison. Just forgive people, love people, forgive your husband, forgive your wife, forgive your children, forgive your parents. Walk in love with everybody and watch the blessings of God flow to you in a brand new way. James 5:14, he said, if any of you sick, call the elders of the church and let them pray. The prayer of faith will save the sick. I tell you, there's power. There's such power when we forgive and when we confess. So, all right, stand up on your feet. If any of you were first-time guests, then we want you to go right now because we got a great gift for you that Pastor Marvin was talking about at the beginning of the service. We want to give you the gift. They're not going to hold you very long, but they are going to bless you. You'll be so glad you went with our connection team folks. So let's give all of them a big hand right now. Aren't you glad they came? We're not trying to embarrass you. We just want to give you a chance to get out and get that gift. And then we just want you to know how glad we are that you came. So let's continue to stand with Pastor Hagen. Let's continue to believe with him concerning his back or whatever that nerve is. So let's continue to believe with him. And we want you to have a safe and prosperous week in the Lord. And what do I want you not to do? Don't drink the poison. Just forgive everybody and walk in love. Amen. All right. Anything else, Pastor Marvin, before we go? Anything else? Okay, we are dismissed. God bless you one and all.